Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. To answer this question, we need to mention some preliminary remarks, first of all.
Okay.
The first point is that, who is Hussein? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Husaynu minni wa ana min Husayn. Hussein is from me and I am from Hussein. It means that me and Hussein, we are one single kind of haqiqah. Mm-hmm. Okay? So the second point is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Innal Hussein Masbahul Huda wa Safinatun Najah. So Hussein is introduced here as the Ark of Salvation.
Yes.
By the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again says that Mathalu Ahli Bayti ka Mathali Safinati Nuh. Man rakibaha naja wa man tarakaha gharik. Says again that my Ahlul Bayt, my household, is again like the Ark of Salvation. So, and the Holy Quran also says that إِنَّمَا يُرِدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِرَكُمْ تَتْهِيرًا.
That's right.
This Ahlul Bayt are purified.
Ayat al-Tathir, yes.
Ayat al-Tathir, exactly. Yes. So, if that is the case, if Quran introduces Ahlul Bayt this way, and the Prophet ﷺ introduces Ahlul Bayt and Abu Abdullah al-Husayn in that way, it means that when a person loves Imam Hussein, he automatically follows Imam Hussein. You know, if you really love someone,
yes,
you really follow him.
Yes,
it is impossible that you really, sincerely, wholeheartedly love Imam Hussein and then do not follow him. Okay?
Yes.
When you shed tear for Imam Hussein, it comes from your heart.
Yes.
It means that your heart is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Very good.
And the Prophet and his Ahlul Bayt.
Yes.
In the house where Ahlul Bayt is there is light. There is nur of hidayah.
Yes.
Okay? And Satan has no way into that heart. So,
And you know that, yes, psychologically speaking, when we are talking about tears and shedding tears or crying, you know, according to so many of the neurologists today, it has different places in your brain. Okay. So necessarily, shedding tears for someone is not a sign of weakness or sadness. Sometimes because of the spiritual perfection and development and growth that you have in your soul and mind, you automatically, out of nothing, okay, you start shedding tears. So shedding tears for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein might be for the afflictions on his body, on his soul, you know, on his family. Okay, this is one side. But another one is a kind of a spiritual purification process.
Exactly.
I mean, if you look at it this way, spiritually speaking, you are going to be purified. So what would be the sign? The sign would be a kind of serenity and calmness that comes from your heart, your tears. Okay, so the tears that are over there are mostly the sign of this, Sheikh.
Yeah, the conclusion that I wanted to make from my previous part of the speech was this, that Imam Hussein is the manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's truth and haqiqah in this world.
Very good.
As he is the vicegerent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he is the true vicegerent of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you get closer and closer to Imam Hussein and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
So this taqarrub ila Allah ta'ala is najah.
Yes.
Is salvation.
It's salvation, that's right.
If someone through a proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot save his own self from hellfire, then what is the any other way possible? Yeah, what is any other alternative?
That's right.
So that is why if we know truly who Hussein is and what Hussein wants from us,
yes,
and how should we live if we are really followers of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam, then of course, absolutely, this would be the ark of salvation, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said.
Okay.
But yes, sometimes there are munafiqeen.
Okay.
Yeah, whose hearts are not full of iman.
Yes.
They just show off and just pretending that they are the followers of Imam Hussein.
Right.
Shedding tear like kind of show off or nifaq.
Right.
So, of course, when the heart is heart of nifaq, there's no salvation.
But Sheikh Rouhani, we have some other hadith in our hadith corpus that even if you cannot shed tears for Imam Hussein in the real world, pretend that you are shedding tears. So what about those types of hadith?
You know, there's two points here. One, sometimes you really do not love Imam Hussein, do not, do not really follow Imam Hussein.
Just
for showing off, doing something. So of course, I'm sure, 100% sure that there's no value for that. But sometimes you really love Imam Hussein, alayhi salatu wassalam. But of course, here, for example, you are in a gathering, in a session, there are people who are, for example, commemorating about Abdullah's martyrdom. And then you see that some people are shedding tear, but your tear is not coming, for example.
Yes.
Then here you do tabaki.
Tabaki, okay.
Yeah, tabaki means that out of respect to Abu Abdullah, alayhi salatu wasalam, you actually show yourself in a way that you are really commemorating about the Lord.
As if you are sad.
Exactly. But it is not nifaq. It is out of iman.
You are expressing your empathy with Imam Hussein. Exactly. That's right.
So that's why this is out of respect, out of love to Abu Abdullah, that, oh, Abu Abdullah, though, for example, now I cannot shed tear right now, but I really love to do that, you know? So this is something else.
That's right.
This is something else.
Now, the major question is that so many people are looking for the ways for true repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and regret their past sins. Can shedding tears for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein be a way to do repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because tawbah belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one else, whether Hussein, Ali, or Prophet Muhammad, okay? So I cannot do my tawbah to Hussein ibn Ali, or I cannot do my tawbah before Prophet Muhammad, okay? I have to do my repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what about the ways? Can taking part in majalis of Hussein ibn Ali or shedding tears for him as a way of a spiritual perfection and purification be a way towards real tawbah, Shaykh?
You know, here we should consider a very significant point, that everything or anything that remind us of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is ayatullah, ayat.
You know,
ayah, signs everything, everything in this world is ayah.
Okay.
Ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
Then Abu Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam is the, we can say, among the greatest ayat of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that whenever a person pay attention and notice of Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam, it reminds him of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then of course you try to repent, you try to ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you try to do istighfar, you try not to commit sin anymore, for example. So these sort of things would help you to actually get more closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Abu Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam sessions, gatherings, and these kind of majalis that we have for Abu Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam. So we can say that, of course, this kind of majalis can help us to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remind ourselves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once we are reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we try to ask forgiveness, we try to do istighfar, see. We try to seek refuge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from shaitan. These are the ways that we can say majalis can help us.
The final goal of shedding tears for somebody's afflictions is inner transformation, Shaykh.
Exactly.
I mean, without inner transformation, doing just shedding tears, there's no difference between watching a melancholic movie or an opera or TV series or thinking about Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. I mean, shedding tears for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein is something beyond, I mean, the sign of sadness that the people might have. And you know that sometimes, spiritually speaking, the people are so much grown up that with one drop of their shedding tears, they can cleanse away all their past sins if it is sincere. I mean, sincerity in your tawbah is very much recommended in Islam, and without sincere tawbah, you will break it. Tomorrow, you will do it again. I mean, you're going to repeat your past sins. And this repentance in this way has no values. That's why we are very much recommended in Islam that if we want to do tawbah, it must be through sincere repentance and through the amendments of the behavior, which all leads to, in fact, inner transformation. All right, Shaykh, we got about 1-2 minutes. your final remarks?
Yes. Okay. What I can say finally is this, that this majalis of Abu Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam are really blessings.
Yes.
And the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I really suggest my respected audience that whenever you see or wherever you see these kind of majalis, try to attend even for a short time. Because that spirituality that is there in that kind of majalis would actually cover your ruh, your nafs.
Yes.
And you will see the blessings and the na'amat of that kind of gatherings. This is the main reason that we see after 1,400 years, Muslims every year for 10 days, more than that sometimes, many kind of occasions.
Many 2 months.
Exactly,
Muharram,
exactly.
Safari, yes.
They hold these kind of majalis.
Yes.
What is the real reason behind
Secret
that?
Secret behind it.
Yeah, exactly. That is this spiritual kind of enhancement,
yes,
improvement, perfection that they feel.
At least like the month of Ramadan,
yes,
for
yes,
1 month,
yes,
they can spiritually purify themselves and be away from the rat race of the modern
exactly
world and the materialistic
exactly
world. And this
exactly
is what really is tangible. So many people who convert to Shia Islam is because of Imam al-Hussein.
Exactly, exactly.
I mean, Imam al-Hussein is the reason for so many people conversion. Straightly, I mean, directly from nothing,
yes,
atheism or Christianity, Judaism, to Shia Islam. Okay?
Exactly, exactly. When you remember that, for example, Imam Hussein's sacred head was on the top of
spears,
yeah,
yeah,
from Karbala to Sham.
Sham, yes.
You know, it is, it tells you that you should not commit sin. It tells you that you should follow truly Islam. It tells you that you should sincerely follow Abu Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam. You know, in this majalis, you would know that who was Hussein. Why is Abu Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam, why he made that kind of sacrifice for the sake of Islam. So that's why I think this kind of majalis are really, really helpful for the Muslims and useful for the mu'mineen to help them better improve spiritually, inshallah ta'ala.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Shaykh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding why shedding tears upon the afflictions on Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam can wash away our sins through true repentance or tawbah. It was very kind of you. Ya Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, do not forget us in your supplications and du'as and worshipings in the majalis you take part, dear listeners. For more information on this program, you can also visit our website, iranradio.ir. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban li Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan. Li Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن. It's too late. If you haven't spoken up yet, it might be too late for you. This is your call to say something and not let history judge you for what you should have done. There once was a day when we were shadows in the street, paper thin excuses crumbling at our feet. Screens glowed brightly, selling fear and doubt. The truth bled quietly, seldom spoken out. But today it's on the news again that the Zionist entity has murdered Palestinians.
nations and burn their city. Savagery is in their blood, genocide their game. The world is watching live as they enter the hall of shame. Don't they see nations waking up? Don't they see people rising up? Don't they see that we won't bow? It's too late to stop us now. It's too late to stop us now. It's too late. Can't you see the land is breaking? It's too late. Can't you see the children dying? It's too late. Let's not be judged by history for what we should have done to save humanity. It's too late. Oh, it's too late. Oh, it's too late. America gives the go-ahead, then it sends in bombs. Israel calls it self-defense and murders without qualms. Since when has killing children become a source of pride? Silence must be broken if you want to turn the tide. It's time we made the right choice, our lives may be on the line. It's time we raised our voice, chanting free, free Palestine. The police can do what they want to do, detain one or two. But thousands of millions are coming through, a move they cannot undo. Don't they see nations waking up? Don't they see people rising up? Don't they see that we won't bow? It's too late to stop us now. It's too late to stop us now. It's too late. Can't you see the land is breaking? It's too late. Can't you see the children dying? It's too late. Let's not be judged by history for what we should have done to save humanity. It's too late. Oh, it's too
ocean of dua.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're going to be with you in this edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition, we will try to talk about dozens of supplications from the Holy Quran that can be recited during the Qunut in everyday prayers and Salat. So stay with us. So, dear listeners, this verse, the 193rd verse of this chapter, Surah Ali Imran, says, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا رَبَّنَا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. O our Lord, Rabbana, إننا سمعنا مناديا ينادي للإيمان. We have indeed heard the voice of a preacher, the messenger, ينادي للإيمان, calling us to faith. أن آمنوا بربكم, believe in your Lord. فأمنا, so we believed. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا. Our Lord, forgive us then our sins. وكفر عنا سيئاتنا. And remove us from our evil deeds. وتوفنا مع الأبرار. And make us die with the virtuous. So dear listeners, the wise men hear the message of Allah. And as they have already understood the meaning of the nature of the divine creation, they readily accept the true faith, the belief in the one and only Allah, seeking His forgiveness. They seek His forgiveness for the sins they have committed in the days of ignorance. And this, not forgetting that Allah alone can keep them on the right path until the last day of their lives in this world, invoke Him to make them die as true believers.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo kashti onjo ravad. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Ab kamju tishnagi avar bedast. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. Ta beju shad ab az bala va pas. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the merciful God will come towards you. Paradise, thank you Allah, now that we're here, feeling so good, about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too, it's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever.
The ocean of dua.
So they say, Rabbana, faghfir lana dhunubana, wa kaffir anna sayyatina, wa tawaffana ma'al abrar. In the last place, they ask the Almighty Allah to make them die with the virtuous ones. So these are the people who are thoughtful, who are always thinking. And that's why they ask the Almighty Allah to be removed from the hellfire and to be removed from their evil deeds. That's because they think, that's because they ponder. And as a result of their thinking, they come to this idea that the world and all these creations are not in vain and they have a path to be moved on. And it is really interesting that in this single verse, they ask the Almighty Allah all their requests, and they repeat the word Rabbana twice in this single verse. They say Rabbana innana sami'na, and then secondly they say Rabbana faghfir lana dhunubana. So they are paying attention to the Almighty Allah as their Lord and themselves being the servants.
Rabbana innana sami'na munadiyan yunadi lil iman an aminu ربكم فآمنا ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر كفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار.
Our Lord, indeed we have heard a caller calling to faith, saying, believe in your Lord, and we have believed. Our Lord, so forgive us our sins and remove from us our misdeeds and cause us to die with the righteous.
That's why they are led to ask the Almighty Allah to be removed from their sins, because they know He's the Creator, because they know He's the absolute cause, and because they know He's the only one able to remove them from their sins, since He is the one that created us in the first place. So they say, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا. Our Lord, we have indeed heard the voice of a messenger calling us to faith. Believe in your Lord, so we believed. رَبَّنَا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيَّاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. Our Lord, forgive us then our sins and remove us from our evil deeds and make us die with the virtuous. Dear listeners, it's better that we make a habit of reciting this dua, because there is nothing wrong keeping with ourselves except the true faith to the last breath of our life, in order to obtain permanent bliss in the next world. We all know, and all the traditions and all the verses have been telling us, that this world is a place of test and trial for us. So the only thing that remains for us is our faith and our deeds. So even after a whole lifetime of true faith, if a person for a single insignificant moment does not believe in the One and only Almighty Allah in the last breath of his life, he is forever condemned to fire of hell. That's why the word Rabbana, our Lord, is repeated twice in this verse. That's why they are asking their Lord, because they know he is the one who can remove them from their sins. And in the last place, they ask the Almighty Allah to be dead with the virtuous. وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. Make us die with the virtuous. So these abrar, these virtuous, have such a high rank that even the thinkers, the thoughtful ones, envy. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program as well. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast round the clock for listeners across the globe. The English channel of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting can be heard via shortwave, internet, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,710 kilohertz every day on 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in the Southern Africa can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 11,740 kHz every day on 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Iran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the English channel of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. You can also listen to the radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means.
Thank you.
In the vast sky of Iran's history, certain names shine like brilliant stars. Names that, through steadfastness and devotion, have earned not only victories on the battlefield, but a place in the hearts of every Iranian. The commanders of this land from ancient times to today have always stood as symbols of resistance, courage, and sacrifice. Relying on faith, knowledge, and a deep love for their homeland, they have confronted every threat and defended the honor and integrity of this nation. Commander Ghulam Ali Rashid is one of those immortal names, a man whose presence on the battlefield struck fear into the heart of the enemy and whose patriotic zeal served as an unbreakable shield for his country. A time life spent defending Iran and its ideals ultimately culminated in his martyrdom during the Zionist regime's aggression against Iran. His name is now recorded forever in the scroll of this land's glory. Born in 1953 in the city of Desful in the southern province of Khuzestan, Ghulam Ali Rashid stepped onto the path of jihad from an early age. His political activities against the Pahlavi regime reflected the determined will of this remarkable man. Before the victory of the Islamic Revolution, due to his anti-regime actions, he was arrested and transferred to Ahvaz, where he served a non-year prison sentence. That prison term became a turning point, bringing him into contact with prominent figures such as Mohsen Rezai and Ali Shamkhani, who would later become senior commanders in the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, IRGC. In 1976, he was arrested again in Isfahan and transferred to Tehran, spending yet another year in prison. But even prison walls could not contain his resolve. Upon release, he resumed his struggle with renewed strength on the front lines of truth against tyranny. Following the establishment of the IRGC, Ghulam Ali Rashid began his service as the Deputy for Intelligence and Operations in the Desful IRGC. During the Iraqi Ba'ath regime's imposed war against Iran, he rose to become one of Iran's senior commanders, playing a pivotal role in many major oppressions. Beyond his military service, Commander Rashid was also a leader in the realm of knowledge and education. He held a master's degree in political geography from the University of Tehran and a PhD in the same field from Tarbiyat Mudarris University. He also served as an associate professor and faculty member at both the Supreme National Defense University and Imam Hussein University, training generations of future defense scholars and officers. Elevated to the rank of Major General, he was appointed Deputy Chief of the General Staff of the Armed Forces, and he also served as Deputy for Defense Affairs at the Secretariat of the Supreme National Security Council. And finally, the proud culmination of this honorable path was the martyrdom that testifies to his ultimate level of loyalty and self-sacrifice. On the morning of Friday, June 13, 2025, Commander Rashid attained martyrdom in a cowardly Israeli missile strike on Tehran, sacrificing his life in defense of the homeland he had so long protected. Throughout decades of service, his record was one of wisdom, leadership, and unmatched bravery. As one of the chief commanders of the Sacred Defense era, he played a vital role in planning and executing major, decisive military operations. His active presence on the front lines and his sensitive role, such as Deputy for Intelligence and Operations in this full, bear witness to his deep involvement and commitment to defending the country's borders. His ability to coordinate between the Army and IRGC at Khatam al-Anbiya headquarters, the highest operational command structure of Iran's armed forces, was a clear of reflection of his exceptional strategic and managerial capabilities. This distinguished performance made him one of the chief architects of Iran's post-revolutionary defensive power. What doubled the strength of Commander Rashid was not only his military ability, but his insight and intellectual depth. His academic background in political geography and his scientific activities in prestigious institutions gave his military analysis profound richness. He was not merely a battlefield commander, he was a thoughtful strategist who fused theoretical knowledge with experience. This combination of scholarship, experience, and foresight made him a heavyweight figure not only in combat zones, but also in strategy rooms and high-level planning sessions. His presence lent great weight to decisions and operations, making him a model of both power and prudence. In the end, the martyrdom of Commander Rashid is a cowardly act of Israeli aggression, highlighted the peak of his strength and faithfulness to the nation and its ideals. To his final breath, he wore the uniform of service and defense. His life is textbook in resistance, sacrifice, and patriotism. His brilliance and unparalleled courage remain a lasting legacy, a legacy that secures his name an eternal place in the proud history of Iran.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of God, the All Compassionate, the All Merciful, and may great peace and blessing be upon Prophet Muhammad and his household. Assalamu alaikum, my dear audience, brothers and sisters, and welcome back to the series of Talks for Humanity. This is Hamza Azizi from Iran Radio. Previously, we've been talking about a very interesting issue as one of the examples of spiritual support for other believers. We said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to remove a kind of egoism within our soul. We said that naturally human beings are a kind of egoistic. They have a kind of egoism within their own souls because they want every good thing for themselves. Even the time that we ask something for our family, for our children, for our spouses, for our friends, actually we are asking that because they are connected to us. And this is, psychologically, it is very thoughtful. We have to think about that. Very notable that psychologically, normally, human beings, they want everything for themselves. For themselves or for their belongings. No matter that belonging is things, people, family members, relatives, friends. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the practical laws of religion, through the moral instructions, He tries to break these limitations. He tries to remove this egoism from our soul. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you want to pray, do not confine your prayers to yourselves, to your family members, to your relatives, to your, even do not confine it to the people of your own age. No, extend your prayer to the people, even up to the age of the Prophet, to all believers throughout the history of human beings. It's very interesting. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. If you do not pray, if you do not raise your hand toward the Lord would not look at you. It is your prayer that attracts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. It is your prayer that attracts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's grace. Prayer is very important, and more importantly is the prayer for the others. Because at the same time, you pray, you show your hand to your Lord, and at the same time, you are extending your soul, you are removing the egoism of your soul. It's very interesting. I as much as I repeat that, I'm more interested in that. قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. If you do not pray, the Lord would not look at you. So this is one of the supports that we can have toward other believers. If I want to talk about how significant is praying for the others, I have to talk in several episodes. But because of the shortage of time, let's switch to the other examples of spiritual support. The other one is to have good manner, good behavior toward the other believers, to be kind to them. Husnul khulq. To be kind to them. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to describe the Prophet and his true companions, He says, Muhammadun Rasulullah. Muhammad is the Prophet, is the apostle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are two characteristics. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُ. His companions, they have two characteristics. Those who are with him are hard against the faithless, merciful amongst themselves. We will talk about the first characteristic later on when we go to the other communications, how to communicate with other non-believers. We will talk about that. But ruhama'u bainahum, they are merciful among themselves because they feel that all believers are, they belong to us. Let's talk about that a little bit more after a short break.
وآل محمد يا مسلمين صلوا عليه اللهم صل على محمد صلوا عليه يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Welcome back, my dear audience, to the series of Talks for Humanity. This is Hamza Azizi continuing this elaboration. We are elaborating the spiritual supports, one of which is to have good face, good facial expression, good manner, good behaviors, to be kind to the other believers. We said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the true companions of the Holy Prophet as having mercy to the other believers. We normally try to be kind to our family members, to our relatives, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you want to be the true believer of the Prophet, you have to be kind to the all believers, the true believers, I mean. The other example of spiritual support is very simple but very precious. Greeting. You see, at the beginning of each episode, I greet you with the Islamic greeting, Assalamu alaikum. And literally, salam means peace. Peace be upon you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this must be one of the Islamic codes among you, something as a norm, as a let's say a kind of protocol among all Muslims. And alhamdulillah, Islam succeeded to internalize this as a piece of culture. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بُيُوتًا فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. This verse might have two kinds of interpretation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you enter a house, فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. It might mean that greet to the others, because they belong to you. Other believers belong to you. سَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Say hello to yourselves. It means to your brothers, your sisters. Or even, it might mean that even the house is empty, no one is there. Get accustomed to this culture. Even the empty house, when you enter, say hello. Say assalamu alaikum. And this second interpretation has also some supportive narrations. In some narrations, we have that whenever you enter an empty house and no one is there, say hello. Assalamu alayna min rabbina. Peace be upon us from our Lord. It's very beautiful, very interesting. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا حُيِّيتُم بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّوهَا. If this was all about to greet, to say, to initiate, assalamu alaikum. But when someone says assalamu alaikum to you, when you are greeted with a salam, greet with a better one or return it. Indeed, Allah takes account of all things. So, when someone says to you, assalamu alaikum, whether you have to reply in the same form or you have to say something better, in the better form. And you know, in our practical laws, although initiating salam to the others is recommended, is not obligatory, but when someone gives salam to you, you have to answer. Otherwise, it is considered as a sin. Inshallah, we will continue this topic in the next episode. Thank you. Have a good time. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
Jannah, Jannah, it's all I ever wish for. This life is not eternal, but the next will last forever. Jannah, Jannah, it's all I ever wish for. Oh God, please don't deprive me a place for life eternally. Is all I'm hoping for. Oh Allah, make my wishes come true. Jannah, Jannah.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می‌کند
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله dear audience welcome to a new episode of Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio. This is Zainab Musavi and what we do in this program is to listen to certain viewpoints of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, who was the great founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and then try to shed light and talk about some of these beautiful viewpoints. Well, about the conspiracy of America and Israel, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi said, "The arrogant powers led by America seek to dominate the Muslim world and suppress the oppressed." Imam Khomeini's statement here reflects a critical perspective from a Shia viewpoint, that is, viewing Western, particularly Americans, influence as a form of imperialism aimed at dominating and suppressing the Muslim world. And you know, this aligns with the broader narrative of resisting tyranny and defending Islamic government. Islamic teachings emphasize resistance against oppression as well. You see, in the Holy Book of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, and help one another in righteousness and piety. Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 2. You know, this verse encourages Muslims to stand against unjust powers that seek to exploit or subjugate them. And Imam Khomeini's words resonate with the concept that foreign powers, especially the US, have historically intervened in Muslim efforts to serve their interests, and often at the expense of Muslim dignity. Narrations from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and infallible Imams alayhi salam, they all highlight the importance of resisting tyranny. For example, Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "The best jihad is speaking the truth before a tyrannical ruler." This underscores the importance of standing against oppressive regimes and external dominations. And furthermore, the concept of oppressed or mustadafin is central, emphasizing that Muslims must defend their rights against those who seek to suppress them. And Imam Khomeini's call can be seen as a call for awakening and resistance that is rooted in Islamic principle of justice and well-being. Imam Khomeini's words condemn external imperialist ambitions and reaffirm the duty of Muslims to resist oppression and uphold justice. And his words align with the Quranic injunctions and the teachings of the holy Imams alayhi salam. Thank you very much, and until another episode, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Was a spring of truth, a selection of Imam Khomeini's viewpoints.